Hello, I'm Karen Lowen, otherwise known as the Witch Crone, founder of the company Witchbox, who specialise in witchcraft subscription boxes, which we transport worldwide, and Walker on the Magical Path. Welcome to our podcast. We aim to give you well-researched and interesting podcasts every week. Please do give us a like, a follow, a share, and I hope you enjoy what we do. Today I wanted to talk to you about beginning witchcraft. So this is perhaps witchcraft for baby witches, but we can always, as experienced witches, listen to what people say and enrich our craft. Witchcraft is a way of study, really, because it's never over. There is always more to learn, and a wise witch will acknowledge that. There is never anything that you can't glean something from, that you won't have a takeaway with. Where do you start? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you about a popular spell that I have heard used by Christians who appeal to angels, by other people who appeal to their guardians. It's been used everywhere, and that is the parking spell. Yes, you heard me, the parking spell. So it's a fairly modern spell, honestly. Can't be ancient, can it? Because it didn't have cars. It calls upon whoever you have in your belief system. For me, it's a goddess. So I call upon the goddess near and far to show me where to park my car. Now, I have a celestial marked parking space in my local supermarket. And every time I go, again, with manifestation, I firmly believe that space will be there. And if I'm in somebody else's car, I always say to them, my space is just at the end of this row here. And it's very close to the door. It's not miles away from an entry or exit. It's very convenient. And I have not failed so far in years of parking there to have my space. Occasionally, the universe works in funny ways and I get the space next to it, but it is always there, and it is honestly one of the most popular spaces. So if you want to be able to park your car, you need to appeal to the universe and then firmly believe that you will find that space. I have used it when I've been on holiday or visiting other towns, and it's not failed me. Drawing down the moon, what is it? Well, this is when you go out to visit the moon, basically, usually on a full moon, and you stand with your feet slightly apart, gazing up at the moon, and you put your arms up into like a cup shape. So your arms from the elbow was extended outwards, and then your palms facing up to the moon. Some people like to actually feel they're drawing down the moon by gathering its energy in their hands and pulling it down to your heart space and then releasing your hands back up again. There is a ritual chant which is used a lot in Wicca. I'm not sure where this chant came from. Might have been written by Doreen Valiente. I don't know personally, but I'm going to read you the chant out. If you want to have a go at doing this, I'm sure you can find a version of it online. It goes, Mother, Maiden, Crone, I call thee. Turn your loving gaze towards me. I feel your power in the water's flow. I see your strength in the fire's glow. I sense your love in the earth below. I perceive your breath in the air that blows. Fill me with your spirit and grace as you shine upon my face. I thank you for the energy you give to me. Forever grateful, so mote it be. I think they're beautiful words, and whether you're Wiccan or whether you follow another pathway, I think that it's a good exercise to go and draw down the moon. Recently, I read a research paper where it showed that standing in the moonlight is beneficial to your health. It reduces stress, it can lower blood pressure and raise your happy hormones, your serotonin and other good things. So, of course, magical folk have known all about this sort of thing for ages, the health benefits of being connected to the earth, to the moon phases, and all of these things. So I would say if you want to incorporate that into your practice, whatever your pathway, give it a go and see if it works for you. The charge of the goddess is a ritual chant that Wiccans and quite a few other pathways use, usually after the drawing down of the moon ceremony. It was first published in 1899 by Charles Leland, and that was in his book Aradia, Goddess of the Witches. So it was already around at that time. He claimed that an Italian woman had given him, dictated the chant to him, but this Italian woman was never found, so no one knows for sure. Later in the 1950s, Doreen Valiente did a version of it, which appeared in her books. She actually published her own version, so she tweaked it just a little bit. And hers consists of 8 verses. Gerald Gardner, one of the creators of Wicca, the pathway known as Gardnerian Wicca, he also used it, and so has Starhawk, who our American friends may know quite well. She, I believe, has done a written version of it. So I have a simplified version of it to read to you now. If you want to use this after you have been drawing down the moon, or in another way in your practice, then I would say try it and see if it's a good fit for you. Listen to the words of the Great Mother, who has been called Artemis, Diana, Aphrodite, and many other names. Gather once a month under the light of the full moon, all of you who practice the old arts. Dance, sing, and honour my name. You shall be free to seek and find the mysteries within yourself with my guidance, for I am the way to beauty, strength, knowledge, and wisdom. I believe on some of the Wiccan pathways there is quite a ritualistic process involved with the charge of the goddess. I'm personally not Wiccan, although I know quite a lot about the practices. So if you want to read more about that, again, you can find lots of information online or in some of the books by Janet and Stuart Farrer or from Gerald Gardner, both of whom different branches of Wicca. There is a magical language known as the Enochian language. Now, Enochian is a branch of magic all in itself, but the Enochian language is said to have been dictated from the angels. And again, angels may not be part of your belief system. However, it was said that this language was dictated by the angels to John Dee and his colleague Edward Kelly, and they wrote it down. Therefore, it is primarily believed to be a celestial language and is used when performing Enochian magic. Now, there are 21 characters in the language and various grammatical devices. Some people, Donald Laycock was one, criticised it heavily, saying that it wasn't a true language. But others, you know, just take it as it is or have investigated it further and found it to be a language. So you can draw your own conclusions with a little bit of research as to what you think. I've already spoken in the past about manifesting a feather, about casting white light, and about performing a ritual bath. So all of these things I've already spoken on, all of these are suitable for beginner witches or those just starting on their magical journey. However, there is also a way of connecting with the deity or finding your spirit animal that I wanted to talk about briefly. So to connect with the goddess, you need to prepare a ritual bath. Try and pick herbs and things associated with your goddess. Now, if you don't know who wants to work with you, you can request guidance. And when I did this the first time, I was visited by Hecate, some people call her, but she asked me to pronounce it Hecate. And being the goddess of witches, I was thrilled that she'd come along to guide me in my journey all those decades ago. I still work with her now. So to find your goddess or to connect with the goddess, prepare your ritual bath. Put some herbs in, put some rose petals in, and light some candles all the way around it. Now, I know what you're thinking, I haven't got a bath. And if that's the case, then you can do it in a calm place. So that may be for you a piece of land or garden that you feel calm in, or even in your shower. Nothing wrong with a shower. You can put a bowl of herbs there, you can burn some incense in the bathroom, and you can do a similar thing wherever you feel more relaxed. If all of that fails, you can do it lying down on your bed, light some candles, have some nice incense burning, and then connect or seek to connect. Now, what you'll need to do is to find your own words to appeal to the universe to send you guidance. And if you can make this rhyme, all the better. So think ahead of what words you want to use. Now, if somebody does come to you, you need to thank them for coming. Even if they say very little, you need to thank them for actually showing up. Ask them their name. Ask them what they want you to do. Ask how you can work together. And that is the start of forming a relationship. Find your spirit animal. For me, what worked the best was standing in front of a mirror. You can use any reflective surface, so a lake or somewhere with still water would work just as well. But a mirror is very good for doing this. Light some candles and make sure that the room is dark. Now, you need to relax and go into a meditative state. So that is where you are deeply, deeply relaxed. So you breathe slowly in through your nose and then calmly out through your mouth. And you do this a number of times. By the way, a top tip for clearing your head is when you breathe in, you say to yourself, breathing in. And then when you breathe out, you say, breathing out. And if you're trying to clear your head of unwanted thoughts, you can just kind of greet them as they come by and ask them to leave. Keep saying, breathing in, breathing out, until you're in a deep meditative state. Place a candle in front of you, not too close to you, but reasonably close, in between you and the mirror, in this darkened state, and then gaze into the mirror. Shut your eyes. Ask your spirit animal to show itself, and then quickly open your eyes and look to see if the presence of anything or the sense of anything has appeared to you. Sometimes your spirit animal can change over the course of your journey. It feels that it's served its purpose and it will want to move on. And you can then repeat this ceremony to see if it's still with you or if another spirit animal is walking by your side. Simple spell that you can do is to send your love out into the universe. You can wish at the same time for world peace. You can wish for peace between friends that perhaps not seeing eye to eye. Or you can just send out love to all of those whom you care for. Now, to do this, I would suggest that you collect some herbs, possibly some rosemary, and rose petals are very useful in a bowl. If you have a rose quartz crystal, you can hold this in your hand or place it nearby and light a candle. It doesn't really matter about the colour of the candle. Some would say pink or pale green is very good. Love, pale green representing the heart chakra at its highest point. So you can light a candle, place it down by your herb mix and your rose quartz, unless of course you choose to hold this in your hand. And then close your eyes and concentrate on all the love that you feel, whether that be for mankind, for a specific person, or for somebody that really needs it at that moment. Concentrate on creating a peaceful atmosphere, whether that be for wishing for world peace or whether peace between friends. Look into your candle. See what shapes and patterns you can see there. Build up this sense of love that you feel, and then blow the candle out and see your wishes for love and peace being carried out into the wider atmosphere on the smoke of the candle. Now, normally I wouldn't recommend blowing a candle out. I would always say use a snuffer or pinch it with wetted fingers, because that is a more effective way of looking after your candles. But in this case, you want to actually send it out with the smoke. Quite often you'll hear magical people saying, "I'm sending you love and light." What does that mean exactly? Well, it means that they focused their intent towards sending you some form of healing. So they're sending you love, they're sending that out from within themselves, and they're sending some of their light, some of their energy towards you. And this is quite a simple thing to do in theory, not so easy in practice. So this is another simple thing that you can learn when you are beginning your magical path. So if you have someone who is unwell or suffering or unhappy, you can say to them, "Would you like me to send you some love and light?" Now, it's quite important that you ask. It's not a good thing to send out anything that's directed at one person without their consent. And I know you're all suddenly thinking of cursing. Well, that's going to be, I'll touch on that later. Let's not go there at the moment. So if you're going to send love and light to someone, you need to find that first of all within yourself. So draw it up, perhaps place your hands over your heart center. Just, we all know where our heart is, don't we? Place your hands one on top of the other over there. Take a deep breath in, and then focus on the person that you're sending love and light to. And visualize a little of your essence, not all of it, because you're going to get tired very, very quickly if you send too much. But send a little their way. And you can envision this in a number of ways. Personally, I see it as having, you know, sort of like smoky substance with wings. And I'm sending it towards you. I'm going to do it now. So I'm sending you some love and some light, and hopefully when you see this you might feel some of that impact. So to send love and light to someone, number one, make sure you have their consent. Number two, don't send them too much. You're just going to send a little that you can spare. And number three, focus and visualize it going towards that person and enhancing their situation. Something that's very important in witchcraft is documenting your journey. Now, you can do this in a number of ways, but most witches decide to keep a journal in some form or another. Now, these days, that is also quite likely to be a folder on your computer. But for the traditionalists, it could be a handwritten journal. You can buy some beautiful journals. I think we have some currently available in our shop at Witchbox. And you can write with a special pen. Now, some witches keep a pen, very often a fountain pen, that they use only to write in their journal. The common name for a witch's journal is a book of shadows. Ancient books were often called grimoires. Now, a grimoire is usually seen as a spell book rather than a journal. But sometimes the words are interchanged. So you would have to see the context and the age of a grimoire or a book of shadows in order to decide what type of document it is. What would you write in your book of shadows? Well, anything and everything, basically. If you decide to do the parking spell, which we have talked about, then you can document the success of it, what you think worked well, what didn't work well. If you do some sort of ceremony to find a god or goddess to help you, or a spirit animal, then document it, draw it. This does not have to be neat. If you see mine, I've got scribbles all over it and hastily drawn diagrams and all sorts of things in it. This is for you, so that you remember what you've done and you build up a body of knowledge that is just for you. We'll talk more about books of shadows, I'm sure, in future podcasts, because there is quite a lot of history that goes with them, and certain things like the Theban alphabet, but we'll talk about that in more detail. But certainly, as a beginner witch, although starting out on the path, then a journal helps you to decide where your strengths lie, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what your interests are, and so forth. It gives you a good record to look back on. Very often, particularly with spells, you can work a spell and then you have to wait for the universe to kind of catch up to get going. Sometimes it's instant, but particularly as a beginner, it may not work immediately. And therefore, if you document the date that you conducted the spell, you can look back in a few weeks to see if you've had any benefit from that. So it's a very useful tool. If you've enjoyed listening to me today, please do give me a like. It's heartwarming when that happens and I can see that someone somewhere has appreciated my work. Also, give us a follow. Always appreciated. Thank you.